Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody is having a good day by all standards. I mean, some people have high standards for having a good day. But anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the show that is focused on getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. We're here to solve the big problems that we are facing, and they're all the big problems are related to the federal government's overreach over the Constitution and stepping onto states' rights, states' powers, and all things not delegated to the federal government. The number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. I know that the House is supposed to be voting on the national emergency, and in all honesty, I am not going to sit here and wait and wait and wait, and I haven't been waiting all day. I did check. Okay, they hadn't done it yet, and so I'm not going to be living based on the news because I had a lot of other things I needed to prep for today, not just regarding the show, but some other things. We've got some resolutions that are going out in Wyoming. And so the work of Republic Review is moving forward regardless of the contrary to good work being done by Congress. Of course, that's what Congress stands for, right? It's not progress, it's Congress. But anyway, we will give you some analysis, or as far as I'm concerned, the Congress doesn't necessarily have a dog in this fight. As far as I'm concerned, the president should, and even though this is a political issue, we are divided ideologically over those people who are willing to shred the Constitution by standing up and saying, we want anybody and everybody to be able to come here and give them citizenship so they can vote for us. That right there is an immoral position because, in other words, this is something that will deteriorate our culture, it will deteriorate our Constitution, and they don't care by any means necessary. And even though people don't look at this as an evil thing because, oh, well, you know, we're all human beings. Well, no, we're Americans first. We don't owe it to the world to save the world every day. As far as I'm concerned, this is precisely why I've been haranguing on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. All of these people that are supporting this, Trump should get the federal marshals out and literally arrest them, kick them out of office, and have them banned. And especially in Congress, these folks should be banned. So how are we going to get this done? Because the press and everybody else will go, oh, well, this is literally a political stage and show, and they're just trying to get rid of their political enemies. No, we're trying to actually get rid of those enemies of the Constitution. These people are committing moral perjury, as they defined it, during the congressional debates of the 14th Amendment, Section 3. It was not about a declared war. It was about committing moral perjury when somebody takes an oath and then does things to undermine or actually violate the Constitution. It's not enemies of our government as far as combatants. This is enemies of our Constitution. And they are alive and well. We will get into the dialogue, and it's going to be kind of interesting because it's a dialogue that goes between George Mason, Madison, Clay, Madison, Nicholson, and so forth. And so This is literally a stack of Mason talks and then Madison talks and Clay talks. And so you're going to hear the questions and the assertions and then the answers, responses, and definitions coming back from the Federalists. So I think you'll find this interesting. And I would love to see somebody do a documentary or a movie regarding this dialogue. Because it actually helps you understand what the concerns were of the anti-Federalists and how the Federalists sold the Constitution, okay? So with that, let me do a little groveling. We do need some help, and I do appreciate those who are reaching out and contacting us, but if you are ready, if you have been convinced by now that it's time to start stepping up and stepping into the pitch, almost baseball season, please, please, by all means, you're more than willing or more than able, if you can, willingly donate to our crowdfunding campaign, then by all means, that would be on the GoFundMe page, and that is Reclaiming the Republic, or you can find the link on the reclaimingtherepublic.org website. I can also use your support if you want to contribute to your, you know, your county and your state. Let me know, and I'll be happy to get involved with you, especially coming up on the election. There's certain things that you can do very specifically in gathering information that you only have a shot at right at the point in time of the election. I'll explain it to you if you want to get involved. Most everybody has a computer. Most everybody has some computer literacies or a phone or what have you. By all means, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will respond, and we will get engaged with you, and we're here to help. We're not from the government, okay? And with that, if you also want to get involved, we are going to have our first write, Erin Williams Lee. I was going to have her on tomorrow, but I'm going to let her know that we're going to do her interview on Thursday because I've got some things going on. And so it's just easier for me to accommodate that on Thursday. So you want to stay tuned because here's another organization, our first right, that is looking to make a significant change to the landscape of Congress, just like Keith Broders is trying to get the states to rescind the 17th Amendment, not repeal, but to rescind it. And these folks are trying to actually get the First Amendment out of the Bill of Rights that never was amended to the Constitution. They're trying to get that passed. And so anyway, if you're looking to get involved, here is another good organization that is out there doing good things that I think you can get involved with. With that, thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for getting other people. Please, another way you can help is by telling people, hey, if you're not listening to Reclaiming the Republic, you really need to. And it's not because, you know, my shining face or my bright wit. It's really about the solution, the process. Nobody can refute this. This is the only process that will get the federal government into compliance. A convention of states will not do that. It'll waste valuable time, and we don't have a lot of time. And as a matter of fact, you know, I've been going through that a lot lately. But before we go through any more of that, I have to tell you that as I went through the news, and as Congress still hadn't voted when I went through the news, so that was a little while ago, but I'm telling you that there is no sign of the federal government relinquishing any of their unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers that they've usurped from the state. That means that we're going to have to do it. That's why I'm here. That's why we're pushing forward. And that's why I need your help. And that's why I end the show with telling you I'm G.R. Mobley and we're Reclaiming the Republic and I need your help because we really do. We cannot do this without you. Now, I know I've been saying that we're running out of time. And I'm telling you that we'll be lucky through the electoral process if we survive the 2024 election. I really don't see any indication that we will have a huge blue wave in 2024, if not sooner. In other words, the 2020 election does not look to be very good, just due to the fact of all of the useful idiots that have been turned out of our indoctrination centers. We have to really start getting very active. We need to start enforcing voter laws, because voter fraud, election fraud, as well as these weaponized kids, as well as illegal aliens voting, refugees voting. I mean, I'm sure that they're sending voter ballots over to China, absentee ballots, to get the Chinese to vote as well, because the Democrats will do anything necessary. Remember, the ends justify the means, and they'll do anything necessary to get us across their finish line to basically destroy our Constitution. If you don't believe me regarding these kids that are weaponized voters, just look at the youth that went to Mitch McConnell's office demanding the Green New Deal, and getting attraction in the Senate. And I'm going, folks, you better start waking up, because what's going on in our school system is designed to destroy our republic. There's no other reason why they're doing what they are doing. And so as we look at the electoral process, right, that's kind of in front of us, I am telling you that there is another real problem that we are missing, or it doesn't come up very often, and it's kind of over here to the side of us, and we need to look in a different direction. So when we come back from the break, we're going to look in a different direction of something else that is going, it's literally ridges on fire, and that fire is going to consume us if we don't stand up for Republic Review very soon. So we'll be right back after a break. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
So right in front of us, we see these amoral kids that are willing to throw away their liberties. And that's just shocking enough, that with these American children coming out of our school system have been programmed that way. However, if we kind of glance a little bit over to the side, we'll actually see the ridges on fire. Those ridges are the states. And I'm telling you that the states are literally burning through money that they don't have. And surprise, most all these states that are burning through money that they don't have are blue states. Now, I'm surprised that some of these are actually kind of red states, but they're not dark red states. And so if you start looking at what states are running a deficit and how much of a deficit they're running, that is a real crisis. So what happens when we have a lot of states that are running a deficit and they can no longer service their debt? Now, we all know California and Illinois are going broke and they're spending other people's money faster than you can. However, did you know that we have 21 states that are spending money that don't have? And here's another thing, because this is just to give you the front of this. Washington State is already in that boat that they're spending money they really don't have. But when Trump had started shutting down the cuts to Planned Parenthood, well, Washington State realized that, you know, they don't want to cover that bill, that they believe that the federal government ought to be paying for the bad choices of individuals so that they can get their abortions for free. To me, there is nothing more immoral than to take from good people to bail out somebody because they made a bad life decision. Because bottom line, why is it that these women are getting pregnant? Now, you can't tell me that this is all rape. You can't tell me that somebody is entitled to take from somebody else to take away the consequence of a decision that they made. But that's what happens when you create entitlement. Pretty soon people will be entitled to get their buzz on. Pretty soon people will be entitled for, you know, anything and everything that makes them feel good. We've really got to turn this society back around and get towards a paradigm of enlightenment, that we start becoming a disciplined society instead of a society that embellishes whatever feels good. And that's what our school system, I literally went through this in detail in December. The first few weeks of December, I covered the immoral and the evilness that the federal government and the education system is committing in weaponizing our children. And they're not just weaponizing them as electoral voters, but they're actually weaponizing them to hate Christianity and to hate their parents if they're Christian. And I went through all of that. There's no doubt in my mind that you don't hear teachers say, hate your parents. No, what they do is they teach the kids that it's the Christians that want to take away your opportunity to choose and have a good time. They're the ones that want to force their morals on you. When the truth be told, it is the secular progressives who are intolerant, who are demanding to ram their morals down our throats. And that's what they've been getting away with. We have to stop this. So, as you can see, that there's more and more clamoring and fires on the ridge regarding the way they're spending money. And as the federal government starts cutting back, and, you know, shoot, the state of Washington is going to have to pay for abortions out of their own pocket now, because they want people to be able to have, you know, a free conscience and, you know, extra money in their wallet. So we're supposed to bail them out for those types of decisions. And I'm telling you that right there is creating a crisis. This is why Republic Review is so important, because the general government, the federal government, has no constitutional power to bail out people, corporations, or states. They have no ability in the Constitution to use the public purse to help bail out the bad decisions of people, corporations, or states. You have to live with the consequences of your decision, and that is a true, just, moral society, allowing people to learn from their mistakes. That's how we learn. That's how we, you know, get better. And if you want to decay and destroy a state, you just keep on getting them to think that you'll bail them out. And then eventually, when all of these states collapse, that will actually be, because – If you understand the debt and the way states can spend money, a government can spend and absolutely waste money and create such an economic decay that they become, I'll just use the word, they'll become stifled. They'll become tied. They will literally be enslaved to the entitlements. And what happens is that they all of a sudden get to a point where they just can't be productive anymore. California is on that path. Illinois is on that path. And even though there's good businesses there, they're leaving. And it's only the consumers and only the services that are being left behind. And people, and unfortunately, some of the people that are willing to work are illegal. The point is that the federal government does not have any enumerated power in the Constitution to take money from the taxpayers and give it to people because they've made these bad decisions, especially governments, especially corporations. And so if you do not want to see the fiscal collapse of the federal government, this is another paramount reason for us to drive Republic Review and get this thing kicked off and started. If you want to be able to close that purse and say, no more, we can't, you cannot spend money on things that are unconstitutional. If we draw that line, then these states are going to go into conservatorship and they're going to be forced to start learning how to live within their own budgets, which means that all of the social programs will have to go bye-bye, and people actually have to get jobs, and people actually have to work, and they'll actually have to become productive again if they want to eat. Now, many people will probably leave those states and actually go to where there's real, you know, decent paying jobs and so forth. And that's what people are doing now. People are starting to recognize this problem. I'm telling you, there are ridges on fire if you look to the side, and it is the states. And I have been telling you that if we want to save these blue states, the red states have to stand up. Because if the red states actually call for Republic Review and get this started, then those blue states and the rest of the United States will not slide into this collapse that will drive us into a global governance where we will have Congress, because Congress is poised to set aside the Constitution again. And that's why we need the states to stand up and say, look, that is not your contract, that's ours. You have no authority to do that, and we're not letting you do that. And that is what Republic Review will do. I also noticed that if you notice that Hillary tends to kind of, you know, start becoming really vocal and getting, you know, out there. I think that whenever there is somebody sniffing close to the shenanigans and looking like, you know, she may be doing a perp walk, she seems to get out into the press and starts bubbling up and spewing her opinions and becomes really vocal. And so it's something's happening again. And I know there's a lot of folks out there that say, oh, the indictment's coming. The indictment's coming. I promise you the indictment's coming. And I go, well, I'm going to take the old Missourian approach and show me. You have to. I'm waiting until I actually see the perp walk, because the Clinton family needs to be served with the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Their entire family needs to be banned from public service. They're a bunch of criminals. We'll just leave it with that. As you know, and this is a constitutional show, it's a constitutional view, and we've got to get into SCOTUS considering the destruction of a World War I cross in the Arlington Cemetery. And I am telling you that if the Supreme Court are the enforcers of the secular godless church, then they will rule to destroy that cross. But if they're defenders of the Constitution and religious expression, that cross will stand. And it's important that we understand that they don't have jurisdiction on many things, but when it comes to something on, you know, Arlington Cemetery and religious expression, they should be the defenders of that, and they should be ruling to support that religious expression being in Arlington Cemetery. You know, pretty soon the godless secular progressives will say, hey, if you're Christian, you can't be buried in a national cemetery. And we're going in that direction. And that is the antithesis of what the framers had created. And we all know that. I'm not sure if you also knew, but NASA has been spending our tax dollars in trying to prove evolution. And the funny thing is that they still can't prove. They seem to give you this idea that they've actually been able to recreate life, but they can't. Because it is the software, the DNA and the genomes, that there's no way those things can just spontaneously happen. There's no just reproduction of the DNA because of electricity or something hitting cells. There's just no way. And I find it interesting we're spending our dollars on trying to prove this. But anyway, we're at a hard break. We will be right back after this. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And I don't want to take a lot of time on this, but the problem we have with NASA and the fact that they're getting into and supporting the secular godless religion and that church that the federal government is defending, I just want to point to the Constitution. Is there an enumerated role for NASA to exist? Now, I do believe that they should, and there's nothing wrong with NASA, getting amended to the Constitution, because we do have a role and a requirement. And as a matter of fact, I could honestly see the defense, air defense, or I should say space defense, that Trump wants to go down, that would be a national security issue. But we don't have the constitutional authority delegated to the federal government yet in letting them explore new worlds like Star Trek. And the fact that they're spending tax dollars on doing this, as well as these secular religion experiments, I've got a problem with that. They're bankrupting us, and they're spending money on things that they have no business spending money on. So My position on this is pretty clear. We need to get the federal government into scope. So what's it going to take to actually get the federal government into complying to the Constitution? If you understand that the states are the stakeholders of the contract, they're the only stakeholders. China's not a stakeholder. No other state in the world other than the United States are the stakeholders of the Constitution. And oh, by the way, the federal government is not a stakeholder either. And so only the states can step in and say, you know what? We do not see this enumerated power. We do not see us delegating these things to you. Therefore, you have to stop doing this because the states have to formally delegate via an Article 5 process whatever role, responsibility, and power the federal government is going to assume. And they have assumed a lot. Hundreds of offices and tasks and agencies, and almost every single one of them is unconstitutional. Now, I'm okay with the states amending the Constitution, and if they amend the Constitution for it, actually, I'm not. I don't want to see these things happen. I'm not a proponent for communism and socialism. I think that the states, we are far better off letting the states take care of all the domestic things. However, there is a constitutional process, and if we get to that point where that we actually amend the Constitution, then, okay, I have to shut up. We have to shut up, and we have to, you know, either combat bad ideas with alternate ideas and or go through the process of educating people and why we need to either repeal or amend the Constitution for good things. But we've got a long way to go before we start really considering amendments. Let's get the federal government into compliance first and foremost before they spend us into oblivion and we get foreclosed on by China. And I'm telling you, some of these other countries that will foreclose on us, they're not really nice people. Especially when you see what they do. If you haven't heard what's going on in China with the live organ harvesting, you haven't been listening to this show, and you need to understand just how evil and insidious some of these countries are. So moving on, because I know I'm haranguing on NASA right now, but it's all about compliance to the Constitution. Now, I also wanted to point out real quick, because I got a good giggle. I don't know if you heard about these huge ice walls that have been blowing up on the shore off Lake Erie. This has got to be a real vexing condition for the climatologists who are out there. Another thing, because I've been also, you know, talking about the freedom of the press, that the Constitution only constrains and restrains the federal government from passing laws and from oppressing the press. In other words, the press must be free because the First Amendment requires that we have the freedom of the press. And that is only an application on the federal government. The 14th Amendment does not secure freedom of the press. It only secures the constitutional privileges and immunities that are guaranteed for individuals. So states can actually have laws suppressing and or holding the press accountable so that we can get away from the propaganda machines that we've got. And I'd love to see states start to do that. But what brings this up is the fact that Vietnam has kicked out the White House press corps out of a hotel because of the summit. And they're going, oh, you know, we're supposed to be able to have access. Well, you know, in Vietnam, that's not our federal government over there. And you don't have this thing called freedom of the press over there. They happen to be communists. Most people have forgotten that. But anyway, that's what you get in a communist state. You don't have the freedom of the press. So anyway, let me get into this dialogue that I know you've all been kind of waiting for. And this is really, really good stuff. And I've promised you that this dialogue, so it's going to start off with Mason, and then it'll go to Madison. And this is all on June 14th. of the Virginia ratification debates. And Mr. Mason says, Mr. Chairman, unless there be some restrictions on the power of calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, we may very easily see that it will produce dreadful oppressions. It is extremely unsafe without some alterations. It would be to use the militia. So remember, this is Mason. He wants a Bill of Rights, and he wants to see us protected. And he sees that what we have in the Constitution, because the focus is on the militia, not a standing army, right? And so he's predicting that by giving the federal government this power over the militia and in the training and the disciplining, that they're going to create this military state. So I'll go on and say, it is extremely unsafe without some alterations. It would be to use the militia to a very bad purpose. If any disturbance happened in New Hampshire, to call them from Georgia, and they bring up this same circumstance a lot, New Hampshire and Georgia, because those are the kind of far extreme states, this would harass the people so much that they would agree to abolish the use of the militia and establish a standing army. I conceive the general government ought to have the power over the militia, but it ought to have some bounds. If gentlemen say that the militia of a neighboring state is not sufficient, the government ought to have the power to call forth those of other states, the most convenient and contiguous, but in this case, the consent of the state legislators ought to be had. On the real emergencies, this consent will never be denied, each state being concerned in the safety of the rest. This power may be restricted without any danger. I wish such an amendment as this, that the militia, and this is the amendment he wants to put out there, that the militia of any state should not be marched beyond the limits of the adjoining state, and if it be necessary to draw them from one end of the continent to the other, I wish such a check as the consent of the state legislatures be provided. And so he goes on and says, they may effective the destruction of the militia by rendering the service odious to the people themselves, by harassing them from one end of the continent to the other, and by keeping them under martial law. Now, see, you got to understand that martial law was contingent upon the use of the militia. Why? Because the militia was the mechanism for internal defense, not a standing army. We want to be very clear here. This is the picture that Mason is pointing, that this militia and the calling of the militia will institute martial law. So if they call the militia, that's when they can call martial law, if there's that big of an insurrection or rebellion. I'm telling you this because there are lots of people that said, oh, well, during the Civil War, they declared martial law. Well, if they did it unconstitutionally because they did not use the militia in the Civil War. In other words, when they started ignoring the militia, and they did this deliberately, folks, so that they could create a standing army, and they didn't change the Constitution. They didn't get rid of Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17. And I believe, you know what, I'm going to have to go check, because I know there's the good constitutionalists out there that are going to tell me, oh, well, you know, you're wrong on that. The militia is actually subsection 16. And it is. It's subsection 16, not 17. 17 is the exclusive legislation and identifies what type of property and buildings that the federal government can constitutionally own. So it's 16. So anyway, my point is that they never amended the Constitution and got rid of the militias. So in other words, the mechanism for martial law has to be dovetailed with the calling forth of the militia. Why is this so important? Because in the Civil War, they ignored the militia. They tried to use them for a few months, and you got to understand that the militia was a defense mechanism. What ended up happening in the Civil War was not a civil war where we were defending. The northern states were attacking the southern states. If you look, there was nowhere where the southern states were going into Connecticut or attacking any of the northern states. It was the northern states that went down and actually started attacking the South. And for 2 years, the South was beating the snot out of the North because it was all being done unconstitutionally and immorally. We'll be right back after this.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, as you can tell, sometimes I just want to keep on trying to clarify when we're heading into break, and I literally run out of time. I apologize. The point is that the Anti-Federalists were clearly scared to death of this militia and the federal government having all of these controls over it. And this is the way it was sold, my friends, that the militia was our internal defense, that we don't have a National Guard, that we don't have a standing army to do anything within the boundaries of the United States. And the framers were very smart in protecting us from that. What ended up happening, because the framers were smart, well, everybody understands that, you know, if you want to create a tyrannical government, then you create all sorts of bureaucracies and enforcement agencies, just like the BLM. If you look at the federal government and how they've militarized and weaponized so many different departments, ATF and so forth, the whole point is that those people who are supposed to be holding the guns to enforce the laws is not the ATF. If you remember my reading it yesterday, they wanted to know why the militia was supposed to enforce the tax revenue collections and so forth. Because they wanted to make sure that it was the people of their own states that were doing that, so that you didn't have this moral corruption of really bad players that are, you know, out to do things, because these are your own family. These are your neighbors that you're actually knocking on doors and saying, hey, you got to pay your taxes, instead of letting some people that have no idea who you are, they're from a different state, and they have a different paradigm altogether. There was a lot of brilliance in this concept of using the militia for all of these types of things, in dealing with insurrections as well as enforcement of the law. And we're not doing that. And that's a huge violation of the Constitution. And that's how we're living. And Lavoie Finicum was killed by federal tyranny. Had the Oregon State militia been the ones out there, there would probably have been nobody shot. It's the same thing with the Weavers with Ruby Ridge. And it's the same thing that happened in Texas. All of these federal bureaucracies that are going around killing Americans is unconstitutional. Only the militia has the constitutional power in doing these things, and the Constitution has not been changed. If they want to create the standing army, then let's see them get a constitutional amendment to get rid of subsection 16. You have to understand, folks, that the framers had all of these things in the Constitution to protect us. And that's why we actually have people dying, because we're not using these safeguards that they put in. It was sheer brilliance that the militia was put in, that martial law was tied to the militia. Show me in the Constitution that they can even use martial law. It was known, and that the only enforcement of the domestic enforcement of laws, as well as insurrections and those things, only the militia was sold in the constitutional debates. They didn't say that, oh, well, we're going to create these federal bureaucracies and we're going to militarize them, because I tell you, the states would have rejected the Constitution on the grounds that that's what they were going to do. It's the same thing. The states would have rejected the Constitution if they were told that the court system would be able to make rulings and actually create new laws such as homosexual marriage, sex as abortion, instead of the legislators being forced to amend the constitutions the way they're supposed to do it in a Republican form of government. So Madison responds back to Mr. Mason and says, "Mr. Chairman, I most cordially agree with the honorable member last up that a standing army is one of the greatest mischiefs that can possibly happen." That's what I've been telling you. "It is a great recommendation for this system that it provides against this evil more than any other system known to us, and particularly more than the old system of confederation. The most effectual way to guard against a standing army is to render it unnecessary. The most effectual way to render it unnecessary is to give the general government full power to call forth the militia and exert the whole natural strength of the Union when necessary." What I am reading to you right now, folks, is the constitutional definition of how the federal government is supposed to act in the enforcements of laws, as well as in rebellions and insurgencies and so forth. And everything that they currently have that they are using is federal tyranny. So let me go back and go on to what he says here. Let me repeat. "The most effectual way to render it unnecessary is to give the general government full power to call forth the militia and exert the whole natural strength of the Union when necessary. Thus, you will furnish the people with sure and certain strength." I've got that right. "With sure and certain protection without recurring to this evil, and the certainty of this protection from the whole will be a strong inducement to individual exertion. Does the organization of the government warrant a belief that this power will be abused? Can we believe that a government of a federal nature consisting of many co-equal sovereignties, and particularly having one branch chosen from the people, would drag the militia unnecessarily to an immense distance? This, sir, would be unworthy and the most arbitrary despot. And see, folks, that's what they're doing now in using these federal agencies, because they're taking people, you know, from the South, moving them, you know, into the Pacific Northwest and killing folks because, you know, they don't understand or these aren't their families. I'm telling you that by using the militia, they created these safeguards. Let me go on. This, sir, would be unworthy and the most arbitrary despot. They have no temptation whatever to abuse this power. Such abuse could only answer the purpose of exciting the universal indignation of the people and drawing on themselves the general hatred and detestation of their country. I cannot help thinking that the honorable gentleman has not considered in all its consequences the amendment he has proposed. Would this be an equal protection, sir, or would it be a most partial provision? Some states have three or four states in contact. Where this state invaded, as it is bounded by several states, the militia of three or four states would, by this proposition, be obliged to come to our aid, and those from some of the states would come a far greater distance than those of others. There are other states which, if invaded, could be assisted by the militia of one state. Only there being several states which border but one state, Georgia and New Hampshire would be infinitely less safe than the other states were because of the adoption of this amendment. We should set up, and what he's pointing out is because Georgia is at one extreme and New Hampshire is at the other extreme, they don't have the luxury of having a lot of states around them. So that means that they would be very limited to who they could be bringing in. And the necessity of being able to actually move people into, you know, for the militia from one state into another, if they were only tied to an adjoining state, then it could cause real problems, especially for Georgia. New Hampshire, it had, you know, Canada and so forth to the north, and that's where the British and the French were. But the Spaniards were down in Florida to the south of Georgia. And actually, if you understand, the French were not necessarily a real threat, but the Spaniards were and the British were. Anyway, were the militia confined to any limited distance from their respective places of abode, it would produce equal, nay, more inconveniences. The principle of equality and reciprocal aid would be destroyed in either case. I cannot conceive that this Constitution, by giving the general government the power of arming the militia, takes it away from the states. The power is concurrent and not exclusive. Have we not found from experience that while the power of arming and governing the militia has been solely vested in the state legislators, they were neglected and rendered unfit for immediate service? Every state neglected too much this most essential object, but the general government, see, he's pointing out that the states will, if they're not getting the assistance, the states will actually ignore their militia. And that's exactly what happened. The federal government ignored it. They didn't do their constitutional duty, and they knew the states would. And that's why when they went into the Civil War, the militia was pretty inept. And so that's why they justified themselves in creating the despotic, unconstitutional standing army to do the bidding and so forth. Anyway, I move on. But the general government can do it more effectually. Have we not also found that the militia of one state were almost always insufficient to secure its harassed neighbor? Oh. Doggone it, I have ran out of time, and I'm going to mark exactly where I left off so I can pick this up again. This is gold, folks. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, and with your help, we will be able to do this. And there's no doubt in my mind, these insightful comments are helping. So we'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.